Blog Talk Radio.
My theme song.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce.
Almost forgot to turn it off. You know what? Put the phone down.
I didn't even do it. I just looked. I didn't touch it. I just looked
Don't
over.
Don't touch it during the show. Oh, whoa, that sounded bad. I swear that wasn't meant to be bad. Anyway, it is September 5th, 2012. It's Wednesday. That means we have Pixanista last night. You guys really should check it out. It was a good show. You can actually check that out if you go to Blog Talk and you go look us up and stuff, and we're there. It's blogtalkradio.com/gamergirlsradio. Mm-hmm. You should also swing by our site at some point in time and check us out there, new.gamingatrix.com.
It's just gamingatrix.com. Yeah, we may be moving over for good as of today.
Awesome.
Later.
It's kind of in the beta-ish, but it looks good. Anyway, I'm Sherry. I'm Snow White. That's my name. Oops. Anyway.
Theory White?
I'm Theory White. Sorry, I was reading something and talking at the same time, and I just woke up, so I'm still kind of like, Sneery.
I'm kind of scared.
I'm Snow White, and that's Corey/GamerMatrix. Hi.
Why, hello there.
See, she didn't just wake up, so she's all perky pants still.
No, I'm not a morning person. I just having good morning.
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. I'm not a morning person, and I'm not having a very good morning, so this is me.
I got Starbucks, so that makes all the difference in
the
world.
Oh, you know what? I hate you.
Look, girl, I got to keep Starbucks in business. I own the stock there. I got to keep them in business so I can get my return.
I believe that they're doing all right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I like to help out. I give them back the money that they give me every now and again.
I have some news for you.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm. This is off Games Politics. And it says, yesterday we reported that NCSoft was closing its Paragon studio and shutting down its superhero MMO, City of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Fans of the game, who are obviously not happy with the news, have decided to launch an online petition to protest.
Yes! I'm sorry.
Thought you'd like that. City of Heroes player Megan Russell put together a petition. She says in the text of the petition that the community and the game's developers want the game to continue on as it has been. The only ones that seem to want to have City of Heroes shut down is NCSoft themselves. The community isn't ready for this, and neither is the development team, who is getting shoved out into the cold. City of Heroes is not responsible for the loss, and NCSoft profits other games are. If you want to find the petition, I'm sure you can. Go to Google, type in City of Heroes petition, look it up, sign it. Already has almost 11,000 signatures. And they've opened up two Facebook pages dedicated to saving the games. The two Facebook pages are Save Our City of Heroes and City of Heroes Cannot Leave. So if you want to help the game out, check it out. Go find the petition. Sign it.
I'm actually going to tweet it here in just a moment so that you all can.
Oh, good.
You know. Oh, wow. It's actually up to 12,000 supporters. And I'm going to add my name to the list after I tweet this to you lovely people. You know what? I said this yesterday. You MMO companies, the reason why you all are not lasting is because they forgot the most important aspect is an MMO requires a community, a deep-rooted community effort. And I don't mean you just have somebody that's your community manager, but they have to interact. Remember when you used to have fan sites that were dedicated to games? You know how many World of Warcraft sites there were at one point in time?
yeah,
like in the thousands. And I think you can barely find one now because these companies stop supporting the community. When you don't give the gamers some kind of recognition when they show your game love, it makes them go away.
It alienates them.
Yeah. And that was part
of the reason. You like my big word?
Yes. It was lovely. It was lovely.
Thank you.
So that's why it sort of died out. And also, we were going nuts over The Sims yesterday, the reason why The Sims is still flourishing. Have you played since they added the new social networking functionalities in?
I have not, no.
Mm-mm. Girl, I had to say, it's so sexy.
I don't like social networking. If I want social networking, I'll play Facebook. I want to play my Sims.
No, it's not just that type of social networking. It's like if you and I were playing, like, you know, when they did the last one, what is it? Superstar Showtime, the last expansion pack. Like, I have my Paty Carey. I can send my Paty Carey over to your game, and she'd perform some things in the park, and she'd go on tour in your city. And all this is due to their own little social networking thing they put in. And in addition to people who like doing this, I particularly don't care for it myself, but some of you do, and we enjoy it. I like the Sim Watch list that likes to post pictures of their Sims, like they do hybrids. There's one up on Facebook now that I actually liked. He's a werewolf boy, but he's like got this weird green face and the hair over the eye. He actually looks kind of hot, and I don't really like wolves, you know.
Yeah,
but he looks kind of hot. He got a little swagger. So you know, all this stuff is
he's got his swag on.
Got a little wolf swagger. So these things is the reason why The Sims is still flourishing. They not only I don't like The Sims store. I think it was a stupid idea to charge people for items all the time.
Yeah,
but
really, that is not good at all.
That wasn't good. But or the not even that they charge. It's that they took away the ability for the people to make some of these items. A lot of people had websites where they made furniture and mods and stuff, but this is why they flourish. They still cater to their community. They really make sure that they, you know, they their Facebook page, they interact with people. They post up their videos like their Machinima. I don't see Blizzard doing any of that anymore. Neither did City of Heroes kind of dropped off of doing that, which drops off your fan base. People lose interest. But what inspires people to want to play is, oh, there's a Machinima video. Maybe it's a song they like. And they're like, man, I feel like playing some City of Heroes. And bam, they go back in.
GLaDOS got you.
Yeah. Oh, GLaDOS, let me go.
She likes you. Mm-hmm.
She's acting up because Ginger's not here to stab her in the face. That's what it is.
Yep. You know, and Ginger's going to have to get her when she comes back.
GLaDOS is on in your life. But anyway, so y'all know, yeah, I'll probably be writing a whole long rant about that sometime this week when we get the site and stuff moved over. But I think that you all out there that are making MMOs especially really need to get back into your community-oriented things. The gamers are not going to stay with you when you just have a game. You got to immerse us. That's what we like. That's why we play the games in the first place. Just saying. All right. Apparently, speaking of people going away from games, the gaming population here in the U.S. has declined 5%. Who knew? NPD Group today announced that there's about 211.5 million gamers, even with my lisp, in the U.S., which is down 5% compared to last year. The firm's newest report, Gamer Segmentation 2012, The New Faces of Gamers, notes that there are six gamer segments outlined. Only mobile gamers and digital gamers saw increases in the number of gamers when compared to last year, with mobile gamers up 9 points to 22% and digital gamers up 4 points to 16%. More importantly, mobile gamers now represent the largest gamer segment, ahead of you core people. That's right. They surpassed us. Be afraid. We were the largest segment back in 2011. NPD also said that the family plus kid gamer segment experienced the most significant decline, an estimate of 17.4 million gamers. Given the long life cycles of the current consoles and the increasing installed base of smartphones and tablets, it's not surprising to see a slight decline in the core gamer segment. That's from Anita Fraser, who's the industry analyst at the NPD Group. She says it's the revenue contribution of the core gamer segment that continues to outpace all other segments and remains vital to the future of the industry, which means you all need to drop some of them prices. $60 a pop, not going to do it. While the study segments the gaming audience based on a number of key variables and attributes, looking across the total gaming audience, there is a tremendous impact from mobile gaming, particularly on smartphones and tablets. And she continued, because of this, our next study will be released later this month, which is going to take a deeper look into the area of mobile gaming. I am not happy with mobile gaming.
There's not much about mobile gaming that I like right now. I mean, I have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a few apps on there. But most of the apps that come out are stupid. They're not fun. it's the same crap, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not much to it. I guess maybe if I had like a DS or something, mobile gaming wouldn't be that bad. But right now, I'm not too happy with it.
They don't count to, I don't know why they don't count DS. When they say mobile gaming, they're usually meaning the phones. And honestly, if we had more games on the phones that were like they were on the DS, and there are some, they're just so, there's like four.
Yeah.
Two of them are designed by the same woman, who is epic, by the way. But the rest of them are horrible mobile games. I can't say I don't know why some of you play it. It's because you have nothing else to do. You're stuck in the line to DMV. You're stuck at the grocery store line. And you're just like, might as well play this picking fruit game. And that's all that it does is you pick fruit. And
yeah. There's no real story behind it. There's no real purpose to it other than poke, 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 poke. And that's really all you do. And that gets boring after a while because you realize, what the hell am I doing?
Why am I picking fruit?
Yeah.
Is there a shortage of fruit somewhere? I need to know why.
Hey, put your phone down.
I don't have my phone. It's sitting on my desk.
It keeps going off. Tell them to leave you alone. You're doing your show.
You know who it is, and you know that does not work.
I know. Do it anyway, because you know it'll be fun after.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be quiet. Get me in trouble. I'm going to shut up.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny until somebody loses a butt cheek.
You like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know you do. I know you. You know you do.
It'd be your turn, woman.
Please, that ain't never happened to me. Anyway, moving on. So we know that gamers hate DRM. What are you giggling at?
I'm laughing at Horace. Don't tase me, bro. I forgot about that.
I gotta get Twitter up. What the heck?
Oh, don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. All right. Everybody knows that all the gamers hate DRM.
Very
right?
True. We despise.
You despise it.
Despise.
In an interview with Chris Early, Vice President of Digital Publishing at Ubisoft, and another interview with Ubisoft's Stephanie Parodi reveals that the company is finally starting to turn the corner on its always-on DRM schemes for PC games.
Thank you.
Thank God. Early tells VentureBeat that the company actually stopped using the method a while ago and that moving forward you only have to connect once to authenticate games that are single-player. That's what we've been trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
The key date is June 2011, Early said. Everything since then is based on our current practice. Every game coming forward is based on that policy, and old games that came before that date are being switched over to that policy. It was originally much more of the stick approach. Now it is much more of the carrot. For those of you that don't know, he's referring to the stick and the carrot, like you beat the animal with the stick to lead it, or you can lead it by having a carrot in front of it, which way is nicer, basically. Both of them are mean to me, but anyway. He goes on to say, just mean to me. He goes on to say that the reason the company is a popular target for piracy is that it makes good games. That's one fact most gamers would not try to dispute. In a separate interview with popular PC gaming site Rock Paper Shotgun, Stephanie Parodi. That's funny. Stephanie Parodi, who serves as Ubisoft's worldwide director for online games, said that some unfortunate comments have been made in the past, but they are moving forward with a friendlier DRM scheme that customers will be happy with. Let me read you an excerpt about DRM from Assassin's Creed 3. The question was, so, with Assassin's Creed 3 and other forthcoming releases, we're going to see a one-time activation and there won't be limits on that activation. Is that correct? Parodi's response, it's correct. And then you'll be able to play offline on PC whenever you want to reach any online service, multiplayer, you will have to be connected. And obviously for online games, you will also need to be online to play. But if you want to enjoy Assassin's Creed 3 single player, you'll be able to do that without being connected, and you'll be able to activate the game on as many machines as you want. That is brilliant, which is what we've been trying to say for how long now, Corey?
8 years.
Seriously. Single-player games should not have to connect to the internet. If I want to play my Dragon Age, and I
mm-hmm.
is there even a multiplayer for Dragon Age? I can't remember. I don't think there is. I should not have to connect to anything in order to play Dragon Age. And I don't really. I don't really have to connect unless I want my achievements and crap. I don't give a crap about that. I just want to play the game. But that was just an example. If I want to play something like Dragon Age or something like Overlord or any kind of single-player game, I do not want to be on the internet because it's a single-player game. I don't care if anybody knows I'm playing the game. I don't care if anybody can see my stuff going on. That's not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is the storyline and what's actually going on in the game. That's what's catching my attention, not this whole, oh, well, if you're always on, you can always get these updates and you can get, you know, news and your achievements will go to, I don't give up about achievements.
You know what? I don't understand this achievement thing and why people think that this is so cool or why developers think this is so cool. I said this before. If you're going to do achievements, especially on Xbox Live, it needs to lead to something like me getting a free controller or a free game or, you know, half off of a game. There needs to be a reason for it because otherwise it's just stupid to me. I could care less how many achievements you have on your profile or I have on mine unless, you know, it's going to get me something in the long run, and it doesn't. People keep thinking, everybody wants bragging rights. No, I don't. You know what my bragging rights is? I finished the game and I can tell you what happened at the end. That's my bragging right. I don't care about the rest. I don't care about the achievements. Am I going to get something? Steam, Xbox, Nintendo even, you're starting to do that stupid crap. I don't want any achievements. Give me something.
I don't give a crap if people think I'm elite. I really don't.
Yeah.
Don't give a crap. Not even in games that are multiplayer do I care if people think I'm elite. I play games for my enjoyment. I don't play games to see whose E-peen is bigger than the other.
And that's like the biggest load of BS I have ever seen all of the companies do it, the achievements. I think, actually, ironically, The Sims is the only one that gives you something for your achievements. They'll give you a little bit of points that goes towards some furniture from their online store. That's pretty much it. Everybody else is, if you play with a developer, you get 200 points. I don't care. You get an achievement. I don't care.
And what's your point? Your point?
I don't care. I don't care. I like the developer. Yes, he's cute. That's nice. When am I going to get my new controller? That's what I need. Okay, I'm sorry. I went off on it. We always go off on angry tangents. Okay.
We do. I think it's just because we're very opinionated.
You know what? I have something to do with that later. Thank you.
What?
Nothing.
What did I say?
No, you said something good. It's good. It's good.
Okay.
It's actually good. I promise. All right. Zynga, in a further bid to sink their stock, is now bringing a social sports betting to Facebook. Rocket Play, creators of groundbreaking and social sports betting games, announced that it has launched Sports Casino, betting title on Facebook and Zynga.com. Along with the game's release, Rocket Play also announced its partnership with Zynga, the world's leading provider of social game services, to bring Sports Casino to the 306 million monthly active players on Zynga's network of games across Facebook and other platforms. Sports Casino is currently available to play at Zynga.com and on Facebook at /SportsCasino. It says that it's supposed to deliver an authentic virtual sports betting experience to social gaming sports fans. Ah, Manny Honigenstein. Manny,
are you all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He says, we're thrilled to launch with Zynga's support, a company that has set the social gaming benchmark and will help us bring a great game to a wide range of players. Sports casino players enjoy an authentic Las Vegas-style sportsbook experience, placing virtual bets. Oh, so it's not real bets. It's fake bets, which is even less fun, on global sports with real-time odds, while enjoying integrated casino games such as video poker, slots, and blackjack. Players can enjoy in-game, real-time betting while competing with their friends, a perfect second-screen complement to watching live sports on television. Sports Casino arrives just in time for action-packed betting on professional and college football, baseball, and international soccer. The game appeals to the highly sought-after male gamer demographic on Facebook, particularly as a social betting games continue to grow in popularity. The game currently only uses virtual currency. Rocket Play has developed Sports Casino to take advantage of the rising importance of real money gambling in the social space as opportunities arise and legal restrictions are eased. The Zynga platform is
Hold on. It only uses fake money?
fake money, but they're basically getting ready for when they lift that restriction, because you know they're actually looking at lifting the restriction on betting online again.
Yeah.
And when they do that, we're going, our store is going to change from baby shoes to casino. But I'm not even joking.
Maybe we can have like the baby shoes in one corner, like a casino in the other.
Right? our lineup will be baby shoe, baby shoe, rattle. You know, if you get that, then you win this much money. Oh, man.
That's a great idea. Oh, man. That'd be awesome.
Spend 1,000 minutes in our store and we'll give you a free pair of baby shoes. Yeah. So, anyway, following sports casinos release, Rocket Play will continue to update the game with more with new features in sports, including hockey, basketball, and more. I think this is hands down the stupidest idea, even if they do lift the restriction. We do not want people. There's got to be a way to control this so that it doesn't get out of hand. And I'm usually not one for having the government stick their hands in. You know, I usually think if you're going to bet up, you know, your kids' grocery money on the, you know, and yeah, you deserve what you get. But
yes.
There might be little people that are hungry. There was a girl, I bet you know who it is. Okay, I'm not going to say her name, but I bet you know who it is. Remember the town that we kind of crossed paths, but we didn't end up being friends in Second Life? There was a girl there that was a physician, blonde-haired chick. Think very carefully. I think the name of the town began with a T. I can't remember.
What?
Think way back in Second Life years ago, and you and I crossed paths. The only reason I know this is because you were saying I had the tummy talker on, and you said it irritated you. You're like, I remember you. You had the long red hair. Remember?
No.
Okay, you don't remember. Anyway, I'll tell you who it is after. But she was one of those ones when they had gambling in Second Life that used to spend up all her money. I mean, all of her, she would stay broke. Sometimes she'd win big. She'd have tons of money. But instead of cashing it out, she would keep it in Second Life, and she would just buy people stuff. And she, I remember she got a divorce. Her husband divorced her. He said she was spending up all the house money. And then right after that, of course, when they you know, outlawed gambling on the Internet in Second Life and, you know, the casinos died out. But it was already too late. That girl had destroyed her life. So there's got to be a way. Maybe you need to get a special license or you need to pass a psychological exam that says you are not addicted to gambling. You're not going to cause any problems because that's just not right.
That's sad is what it is.
Yeah, and I used to tell her, girl, quit using up all your money. What are you doing? I love playing Texas Hold'em. You probably love it, too, since you're from Texas. No?
I don't, you know, I've always tried to, I tried a couple times to get into gambling. And then I realized, you know, this money I'm blowing on this game, I could probably go buy some shoes with.
Right.
The gambling just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
I tried it once. I went to a casino in New Orleans, and I spent up $30. And when I got done, it occurred to me that, again, like you said, that was a pair of shoes at Payless.
Right.
And or if I was a BOGO, it was a pair of shoes and a purse. I won't be doing that again, and I have not been back to a casino since.
I mean, even lottery tickets to me is amazing. It's, okay, I knew this one woman who would come into this grocery store. Literally every week, she would spend $1,000 on lottery tickets.
That's too much.
Every week. And this was like her stipend from her family because she was an older lady. You know, she wasn't obviously not very good with money at all. And she would go in there and blow her entire stipend on lottery tickets and maybe get $10. Maybe.
Apparently, she don't understand how these odds work. That is, you go to the store. And you all out there can try this. You go to the store on your lunch hour, especially Jay, because he's always going to buy a sandwich, and you just say, yeah, I pick up a lot of tickets, $1, and that's it. And I did that, and I won like $250. And at that time, that was my rent for the month, so that was real nice. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen all the time.
No, it really doesn't. You lose money more often than actually making any money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I very rarely buy a lottery ticket. And I'm lucky enough, most of the time, I win $1 to $5. Not every time, but more often than not, I'll win $1 to $5. But that $2.50 was a fluke. Never happened again.
And it probably will never happen again.
Mm-mm. I do regret. I did tell you. I'm going to tell you all this story, too. Then we need to get back to the news. Baby Natrix's fifth birthday, Danger Doll and I were standing outside the store. She says, we should buy a pick 3 lottery ticket, and we should play Baby Natrix's birthday. And I said, nah, that's stupid. Do you know those damn numbers came up the next day?
Are you serious?
I kid you not. She calls me and she woke me up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my God. We should have bought a ticket. You know how she talks. Oh, my God. We would have been so rich this morning. It happens. The moral of the story is, don't watch the lottery numbers, then you won't know if you lose.
Right? I never, ever pay attention, because sometimes I'll be like, I bet those numbers are going to come up. And then I just don't watch the lottery numbers, because I don't want to know.
Don't bet money on your lottery ticket. Don't do it. All right, so Jay says he agrees with you, by the way.
Oh, he should. Horace said, yeah.
He says he doesn't gamble, strong impulse. I concur. That's a bad impulse. Is it my turn?
Yes. No, wait. Hold on. No, it's my turn. My turn. I was just waiting for you to finish.
Let me ramble. You know you have to cut me off. I will ramble for a whole hour. Go ahead, girl.
All right. So, StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm, the closed beta is live. Yeah. The closed beta test for the second installment of StarCraft II, called Heart of the Swarm, is now underway. Blizzard sent out invites to a limited pool of testers, and in the coming months, we'll be sending out more. So if you're excited about this, you want to go check and see if you can get in on that. I don't care. For now, the test includes a multiplayer portion of Heart of the Swarm, where testers will get a chance to try out the new units and abilities planned for the beta. Blizzard does not have a definite endpoint for the beta, so no word yet on a possible release window for the game. That means that it's really borked. It's really broken, so we need all you beta testers to do your job. If you're interested and would like to help test out Heart of the Swarm, you can opt in through your battle.net account. Opting in does not mean you will definitely get access. Here's what Blizzard said about how it selects who gets in through the opt-in pool. Beta testers are chosen according to their system specifications and other factors, including recent StarCraft II activity and an element of luck when selecting individuals during each round of invitations. Our goal is to have a wide variety of players and system types. So closed beta, StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm, opt in through your battle.net account. And please, if you are doing this beta, please do your job. Don't just play it and just be like, oh, I was in the beta.
It's yes, you all know you have a job to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's really messed up with them, though. If you have StarCraft 1, that basically means if you had to have bought StarCraft 1 for them to let you in. They're basically judging whether or not you're going to buy the next one. Blizzard, really?
Yeah.
Sad, 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 Blizzard. All right. I'm sorry to tell all of us this. Snow is the only one who's safe at this point. Droid is sick.
Ha! 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 Sorry all this smack about my iPhone.
Yeah, it happens. According to McAfee, Android phones in the past few months have they've been attacked. The attacks have exploded, they're saying, over the past year, growing almost 700% over 2011 numbers. Almost all of it, perhaps 85%, target smartphones running Droid. The attacks range from the traditional, fairly well-known email with bogus attachments to the downright Machiavellian drive-by downloads. Similarly to desktop drive-bys, simply visiting a site initiates the attack. Yeah, see, this is what I told the Girl Scout people when I did their thing. Told them all in there, you're in danger. People don't even have to be near you to hack your phone. Once they're in, your data can be held hostage as ransomware threatens deletion. Seen a lot of that going on lately, of course. Or publication, unless you pay up, users still need to authorize and install. But McAfee says when an attacker names the file Android System Update 4.0.apk, most suspicions vanish. That's because it looks like an official update to the Android operating system. In the past 3 months alone, McAfee has seen 27 million new websites on 300,000 new domains that are either infected or created specifically by malware authors to trap the unwary. The big surprise and the huge increase on Android isn't that Android is being attacked. Google's smartphone platform has been a key focus for bad guys for some time. The big surprise is that Google has not managed to stem the tide in any significant way. Looks like I need to get to work on an app. Security concerns on Android should not be news to Google, and Google should be putting security at the top of its list of priorities. But Google's Bouncer software, which is supposed to be protecting users by scanning apps on Google Play for any malicious code or behavior, often appears to be asleep at the switch and is easily fooled. Shades of London Olympics widget, anyone? Y'all heard about that one? Even worse, Bouncer can only scan Google Play, the official Android app store, not Amazon's app market or any of the other Android markets that appear. That Apple app store is not looking so bad now, is it, guys? That's bad news, of course, for Android users, bad news for Android, and bad news for Google. McAfee's total mobile malware by platform graphic doesn't even show the graphic I'm looking at doesn't even show Google's biggest competitor in the smartphone war, Apple's iOS. This is sad. So there's some – Apple does have some security issues, but it's a tiny issue. There's an SMS spoofing issue, an app purchasing problem, and one discovered a Trojan on the App Store, and Apple still doesn't get its own slice of the graphic that I'm looking at. It's a very, very small percentage of people that are getting hacked on Apple. The answer can't be the standard educate users. The users aren't going to get it on their own. Google needs to do more to ensure its platform is safe and secure, and that's according to VentureBeat. Droid, why are you so wrong?
Droid. It's because everybody assumed that Droid was impenetrable.
Well, they think the same about Apple, which we all know is not true. None of them are impenetrable. I think Google is a little too wide open. There's, you know, you got four or five different app stores, and this app they created only scans one of them, which means the hackers have free reign to Amazon and the other two or three that they can go put bad stuff up on. Not saying that Amazon doesn't scan theirs, but really there needs to be a cross-platform thing.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it's this whole thing of everyone assuming that what they have is never going to get hacked.
I had to explain to those ladies at the Girl Scout meeting that your phone is not safe. And they're like, but my phone's in here. How could someone attack? Girl, I will slap you.
Are you serious?
The only lady in there that was safe, I told her she had like a razor from like 1998. She said, what about my phone? I said, you are the safest MF in here, sister, because your phone don't have any Wi-Fi, nothing. You can't even text. She's like, no, I can't receive text. Yeah, your phone is so old that it's safe. So you either get a super antiquated phone or you guys out there need to learn how to protect your phone.
Yep.
I have Lookout Mobile and another one on here. I have two on here. You're going to have to fight to get by my stuff. I'm not going to make it easy. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not going to even put that challenge out there, but it's not going to be easy. Not going to just get into my phone. And you better have some on your phone, Miss Snow.
What? Huh?
You better have your phone protected. You know better.
Girl, I always use protection.
Ha! I need to root it from Android. I need to root it.
I was making a joke. Calm down. All right.
No, I'm mad about my phone. I need to root it. I'm tired of these updates. I do not need the updated version to Scavenger yet again today. Stop it, Scavenger.
All right. Steam green light. We said something a little something about that yesterday.
That's
was
the
it yesterday?
Sexual stuff. Yes, the sexy stuff was going on.
It doesn't have to do with any sexy stuff.
Oh, boo.
But it's kind of controversial.
What?
Valve has announced that submitting a game to Steam Greenlight will now cost $100.
What?
Yeah, listen. Steam Greenlight was announced in July and allows users to vote on which games they believe should be available for sale on Steam. But in an announcement posted on the Steam community, Valve says that there is unfortunately a significant amount of noise and clutter being submitted, either as a joke or by fans not fully understanding the purpose of Greenlight.
So that's your fault for your bad marketing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
In order to cut down on that noise, Valve will be charging a $100 fee for developers to post a game to Greenlight. All proceeds from the fees will be donated to the Child's Play charity. As Valve says, we have no interest in making money from this, but we do need to cut down the noise in the system. The announcement notes that anyone who has already submitted a game to Greenlight will not be charged a fee retroactively, but they will need to pay for future submissions. Valve is also changing discoverability in Greenlight, giving users new ways to find games that relate to their interests. The next time you visit Steam Greenlight, you'll be shown a smaller, manageable list of games that you haven't rated. The announcement says, the view is a mix of popular games and new games to Greenlight. Valve concluded by saying it's very interested in maintaining an environment that is fair and beneficial to everyone involved and one that's fun and rewarding to join, and that it will keep iterating to this system and updating as we learn more about how the community and developers want to utilize it. $100. Now, I love that they're donating this to Child's Play. Love it. But $100? What about this person who is trying to make a name for themselves and doesn't have $100?
This whole idea is stupid, Steam. I understand that there's noise, but Apple does the same thing. You either hire somebody and say, this is your job to go through these submissions. Some kid out there is in college. He goes to Full Sail. He really wants to get into the industry. Hire him part-time. This is what you do. And you don't even he doesn't even have to come into the office. You could do this job from home. You pay him, $8 an hour. He sits at home. For 4 hours a day, he goes through some submissions, and you let people know, you know, this is only done 4 hours a day, and you get two or three of them. It's stupid to make people pay to submit a game. As Snow just said, you don't have the money. You're a developer. All you got is this code in your brain.
Yep.
All I got is this keyboard and this code.
I mean, I can understand how it could be a little frustrating to have a bunch of crap come in, but you either need to change the way submissions are done. You need to have a better team that can help you sift through this or something else. But charging $100 to submit a game, it's a little much to me because there are people out there who have awesome ideas and can code a kick-butt game. You know? They can code a kick-butt game. They can mm-hmm. they can draw. They can get a little team together in their living room and make an awesome game, and then they have to come up with $100 to submit it to Steam and have no guarantee that it will do anything for them in the future.
Exactly, because haven't they just said they're just going to submit it? You're lucky.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same way they do for Apple and the rest of them.
Yes.
They just, what is it? Why
also,
they just go
and, then, and then not only do you have to pay $100 to submit it, but people have to vote on which games actually make it.
Stupid.
I don't, that's just, mm-mm.
Stupid. I don't understand this. Gabe, this is not your best interest. You have some great developer out there that's not going to get seen because they're just not going to have the money up front.
Yep.
And I know you're saying, well, if they don't have the money, they shouldn't be in the industry. Look here. Double Fine didn't have any money either. I'm just saying.
And did he have any idea where all of these people who make all these great games had to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They were not rich right off the bat.
I tell you what, you're trying to get your new game off the ground. We can't fund you, but you come on by. We'll talk about you if it's good. If your game
right.
sucks, don't even bother. But it's good. You tell us.
We'll get you some publicity. How about that?
That's right. I may have to get us in trouble to do it, but we'll get you some.
We got your back.
Look, speaking of trouble and how we're always in it with them, Microsoft.
Go ahead.
Did you know about the trouble I got in with them? Because, you know, you're not usually up with us in the morning. You know I got in trouble, right?
What'd you do?
I found a security hole in Skype. I did. I found a security hole in Skype. And as soon as we got done with the news, my phone rang and it was like, Corey. Yes. Shut up. Stop talking about it. I didn't tell him how. You don't have to say another word until we. I was like, how the hell did y'all get my phone number this time? Microsoft is like the FBI, I kid you not. Anyway, Microsoft and Sony said that they are expected to debut their new consoles late next year. So we're not even going to get it this year. Webbush Morgan and analyst Michael Pachter says he believes it may actually go all the way to the spring of 2014. Currently, we've heard no word from Microsoft or Sony about their plans to launch new consoles, but both manufacturers are widely expected to launch consoles by the end of, what year is it? I'm sorry, 2013. Although it is believed that Microsoft could delay a new console launch to the spring of 2014 in order to accommodate what is certain to be overwhelming demand among hardcore gamers. The speculation dovetails with the thoughts of GameStop CEO Paul Raines. He told Polygon that he expects one console in 2013 and another in 2014. He says, this week I'm getting a lot of rumors that are very interesting about 2013. We have not been expecting two more consoles in 2013. We're expecting the Wii U this holiday, another one next year, and another one in 2014. These rumors change every week, but we're hearing more about next year. Both statements could be taken together, which would put the next PlayStation next year and the next Xbox in 2014. But can Microsoft afford to wait a year? You know what they're all doing. They're waiting to see what the Wii U does so that they can incorporate. It's that simple. That's what they did last time. And even last time, they didn't realize it was going to go so well. So that's why we got to connect just years later. So Microsoft, I have told y'all before, if y'all just put out a really good handheld, I mean a really good one, if you build it, we will come.
If you build it, they will come.
That's right, Microsoft, if you build it. And you put Xbox Live on it, And a front and a rear facing camera.
Oh, that scared me on my iPhone. I didn't even know. I went to go take a picture, and I hit a button before I even knew what was going on. All of a sudden, I was on the screen. I was like,
Scare yourself. Wrong.
I was like, what the heck happened?
Is anybody else out there playing Hearthfire on Skyrim? Anybody
no.
else did it?
Mm-mm, no.
Of course, we have not played it. Bethesda is saying we're on the list to get copies, but we that doesn't mean anything. Bethesda, you
we're
know,
on the list, but you ain't sent that crap. What's wrong with you?
No person asked. You know the who they like.
Of course.
No, they like Blaster.
I know.
He's like, I don't know what
he's
does.
Like, he's like up that, their butt and around the corner.
No, it's not even because he's up their butt. It's because there's women. There's a bunch of women that work with Bethesda. They love him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Ladies, how about showing some fellow ladies some love?
They want the tall, blonde, Nordic giant is what they want. They love them some Blaster. So if he calls over there in that voice, hello.
They'll be like, how many do you want?
They do. Because, way back when they first met him, they sent like 3 copies of Oblivion. I was like, what are we going to do with all these? I gave one to him. I had one. I was like, anybody else want one? They were like, no, I already bought it. I was like, what do we do with this? All because he said hi. I was like, what did you do to those
things? Dang.
There was a copy for a PC, an Xbox. Man, it was crazy. I don't know what he does to them. They love them some Blaster. All right, so Hearthfire is not getting good reviews. apparently, with the adopted children, you can't do much with them. You can play hide and seek. You can tell them to go outside and play. You can ask them to do chores. There's no chores that really help out, you know, as far as gameplay.
Tell your husband, get in there and clean that kitchen.
Wait a minute. Okay, so it says the game doesn't let your new family live in the new house you've built, even though children's furniture can be added. Instead, you have to convert a room in one of the pre-existing homes to a child's bedroom, and only then are you allowed to adopt. Your spouse and child automatically move into the house, and from what Eurogamer is saying, they end up stuck there permanently. The option to relocate your handmade home vanishes from the dialogue options, leaving 2 aspects of Hearthfire strangely divorced from each other. So they didn't do it very well. You guys need to look at Fable 2.
Wait a minute. You said that they can't move into the new house you built?
They can't until you add a room, and once they're in there, they're in.
That's messed up.
They said, unlike Fable, where producing offspring is an organic and random thing, and the characters can express a range of reactions and emotions, here you are simply picking one handful of pre-rendered Muppets who will go through a series of pre-rendered routines.
That's kind of boring, actually.
The only thing that says nice is the carriage appears outside your house and takes you anywhere you want to go. So,
you know, I don't know. That's not enough of an incentive for me to buy the DLC.
It's not.
It's really not. You have to give me more. If I wanted something that would just go through the same motions over and over and over and over and over again, I've got NPCs for that already.
They need to study Fable is what they need to do. Fable 2,
yeah.
Not the last one. Fable 2, you need to really study. And this, I was hoping that it was modeled after Fable, but a little bit more on the serious side. I'm still waiting for the Fable or Skyrim or, you know, whatever Bethesda puts out next that has children that actually grow up, you know, that you have to go, they're wayward, like they get into trouble or something. Or they decide they want to go off on their own.
Yes.
You can't tell me what to do, mother. And go off and you have to rescue them.
I'm running away.
I'm getting married. You know, I'd like to have some grandchildren and stuff in the game that I get to cart around. And I'm telling you. If you guys do not figure out a way there at Skyrim to help me get my husband to stay in a house, I'm just gonna kill him. He's getting on my nerves. Darling, I love you. I knew I loved you. Shut up! I'm trying to kill this monster. Are you gonna help
stop
me?
Stop following me, okay?
Either stop following me or help. Can't be all me. Your eyes are so lovely. Ooh, blam blam blam.
Can I kill my husband?
I'm going to. Next time I'm in, if I see him, I have told him to stay many times, and he'll say, okay. And then as soon as I leave the town, I look up there, he is with me. So if I do this again and he leaves the town with me, that's going to be it.
It's on.
It's on. He's no more husband. I'm going to be like, sorry, dude. I didn't like you anyway.
Okay. Assassin's Creed 3 development team might be talking a little smack.
Uh-oh.
Talking about AAA games are dying out.
Y'all want to wait until y'all game is out first before y'all talk smack?
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 3 creative director Alex Hutchinson has described the game as being one of the last of the big AAA dinosaurs. In the latest issue of Edge, Hutchinson claims that massive production teams, the likes of which made Assassin's Creed 3, are becoming a thing of the past. We're the last of the dinosaurs. We're still the monster AAA game with very large teams and multiple studios helping out at different bits. There are fewer and fewer of these games being made, especially as the middle has fallen out, he said. We really felt like this was a rare opportunity. We had an experienced team who had worked on the franchise for a while. We had the full backing of Ubisoft to make something huge. We had almost 3 years to do it, which is a rarity these days. Excuse me, I burped. The tech and the hardware platforms were both mature, which allowed us to start running instead of building base features, and the installed user base for all platforms is massive. Many of these factors are about to change by choice of circumstance, Hutchinson concluded, so a lot of us truly believe this was a once-in-a-career opportunity. His concerns have been echoed by others in the industry, like Cliff Lazinski, who feels that the cost of developing the next generation of hardware will stymie development. But others, such as Eidos president Ian Livingstone, have come out equally strongly saying, we'll always want AAA single-player games, and the industry must find ways to accommodate this. I think I agree with Livingstone, actually. I can pretty much say I will never stop wanting my awesome single-player games. Even now, I can log into or boot up Dragon Age 1 and play that for hours and hours and hours and hours. And oh, my God. Overlord, I can rock that for hours, too. I mean, come on. I even pull up Baldur's Gate from time to time.
There's a new Baldur's Gate coming out, and it's not making a whole lot of splash either. But I love me some Baldur's Gate, too. Baldur's Gate was awesome. And it could work as a multiplayer title, but I think the thing is, more often than not, they lean more towards doing multiplayer than making it both. Because maybe I don't feel like playing. I think they're forgetting part of gaming is also stress relief. At least it is for me. If I'm having a stressful day, I sit down and I play for a few hours, and maybe I'm not in the mood for talking. I love my snow and my ginger and my blaster, but I have my bad days like everybody else. Maybe I want to play, and I don't feel like talking to them. And I should be able to do that without having, you know, or hurting people's feelings. Well, how come Corey don't want to play with us? Hey, how about I just felt like killing some people by myself just for a little while?
Yeah.
And y'all make us feel bad because we don't feel like being social. Give us an option.
Some of us, honestly, when I'm playing a game, unless it's an MMO, if I'm playing a single-player game, the reason I'm playing a single-player game, I want to play by myself.
Yep. I will play a multiplayer and play by myself. You know how I am.
Because I do, too.
I'm roaming around looking at the textures. I'm exploring the world that was created for me. I want to know where the hidden fountain is and the person hiding around the corner. Or sometimes I just want to punch old ladies in the face with brass knuckles. It's just, that's how I feel like. this is sad.
Just to sum this up really quickly, basically Assassin's Creed 3 dev team and a few others are saying the AAA titles are about to be gone. Others are saying no. I happen to agree with the ones who say no. People are always going to want those big single-player games. Always.
Mm-hmm. This is very, very true. All right, Transformers.
More than meets the eye.
Okay. I knew you were going to say it. So I paused. Transformers.
More than meets the eye.
You forgot the next part. Robots in disguise. Okay. We're such geeks. Okay. Havoc today announced that Activision and High Moon Studios used Havoc physics and Havoc animation in the anticipated third-person shooter Transformers Fall of Cybertron, which I will not be playing. I love Transformers, but I do not want to play as one. Sorry. High Moon Studios is saying that we are gamers who share a passion for the medium. That's Mr. Peter Della, Peter Della Pinna, Wow, that's a name for you. High Moon, he's High Moon's president. As developers, he said, we believe video games are only scratching the surface of where artistic and technical creativity can take us, and the power behind Havoc technology allowed us to bring our imaginations to life without hindering the game's overall performance. The main priority of High Moon Studios was to push physics within the game without compromising performance. The use of Havoc physics and Havoc animation enabled the development team to deliver enhanced performance and convincing physical interactivity in the game. He says, we're very happy that High Moon has chosen to adopt Havoc's physics and animation technologies. I'm sorry, this is Mr. Brian Waddell, who says, our cross-form technology gives High Moon unlimited options for creating an amazing experience for the global gaming audience. He says, it's a great team, a great game, and we had fun being part of the project. Blah, 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 blah. You can go check out the developers at Havoc.com. And I haven't seen anything about Transformers Fall of Cybertron. That kind of does not interest me. And it's not because it's a shooter. It's because it's just like, I don't see the point. And they also, Havoc's also built, looks like they did Guild Wars 2, is using that technology. Trying to see what else they have. Oh, and they're hiring. Some of you out there looking for a job. Somebody just told me they're looking for a job. Oh, yeah, they did Drake's Fortune 2. Drake's Fortune is beautiful on the Vita. You click your castanets, and then you you place Drake's Fortune. Click, click, click. It's very pretty. Anybody looking for a job? Havoc.com.
Oh, my God.
What?
I just found my next story.
Uh-oh. Do it. Did you have to snort? Did you really? What's going on? What'd you find?
Final Fantasy.
Oh, no. Y'all run.
New details have surfaced about the design mantras behind Square Enix's recently announced Final Fantasy XIII Lightning Returns. An interview in the latest issue of Famitsu, translated by Andrea Sang, reveals that the game will come with just one ending, and that it'll be a happy one. Well, then what the heck am I going to play it for now?
No, no, no. Why did y'all do this?
Despite this, the game is apparently being designed to encourage players to go through and complete it multiple times, and the length of the game will reflect this. That means that it's not going to take hundreds or even apparently tens of hours to complete. Depending on your actions, the remaining life of the world can also increase and decrease, meaning the world could end before the previously mentioned 13 days. It also appears that each of these in-game days will last between 1 and 2 real-world hours. So it looks like Lightning's adventure is going to be a very different experience to the ones that have come before. Also in the interview, it's mentioned that Hope will make an appearance during lightningbywireless.com or during... Guiding Lightning by Wireless.com. And that this entry in the Final Fantasy XIII series will be world-driven, asking players to consider how they interact with changing the world. There's no reference to a potential release window, but the game is apparently about 30% complete. Seeing as we heard at the start of August that the game had only recently entered production, it seems that the game is making good progress regardless. Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII will be the final game to feature Lightning and is due out on PS3 and Xbox 360. What? The heck? One ending, you already told us it was going to be a happy ending, and then you're going to say you want us to play it through multiple times because it's not even going to be that long? You think I'm buying this crap?
Ooh.
You have totally, completely, and utterly shattered the Final Fantasy franchise to me. You guys suck.
Ooh. Y'all made Snow go up in the mid-register.
Ooh.
Oh, this no good. This no good. No, no, Missy Princess, this no here. This is bad.
That's the castle. He's no here. Seriously, what the heck? You already told us it only has one ending, and it's a happy ending. So you ruined it right there. And then you're telling us that it's not even going to last as long as the other games. The one thing I loved about Final Fantasy games was I could play those things for hours.
Y'all should see how I'm backing away. I'm all scared. I'm cringing.
I used to love this. You know what? I'm so angry.
See, now you know how I feel about Splinter Cell. That's why. That is exactly why I feel the way I do about Splinter Cell. They are ruining a lot of the older franchises. I just prefer you do a new IP before you screw up the old ones. Just leave it alone. I have to go check out Metal Gear Solid. I haven't played a Metal Gear Solid in a while because they lost me when they... And they put that little blonde-haired boy in there. That boy was soft. The boy was soft, okay? I don't care what some of you like Raiden. I didn't, whatever the hell his name was. I don't care what his name is. I didn't like him. So I left Metal Gear Solid after that. And Splinter Cell, I'm done with you for good. We are broken up. Tells you to come pick up your stuff. It's over, Sam. You must not know about me.
Angry. Angry!
You must not know about me.
You to the left, to the left. Okay.
Sam, everything you own is in the box to the left.
I'm done. Done!
I may have to redo that song. I may have to redo that song. Take your goggles, take your stuff.
That would be funny. I would have to giggle. We might have time for a quick one. You got a quick one?
Oh, my God. I did, but I got sidetracked by something somebody sent me in an email, and it was not that. All right. Let me tell you about Brutal Legend, I have never played Brutal Legend. There's so many games we don't always get to play, and we have our favorites, obviously. But Brutal Legend, Tim Schafer of Double Fine founder and Psychonauts designer, has admitted that muddled messaging ultimately harmed their 2009 title, Brutal Legend, and that he now aims for a more open approach to development. He said that the part that I felt was most special about the game got unfairly vilified because of poor messaging. He told Eurogamer of the game that combined RTS and action. He says, I think it's the neatest thing about the game turning into a big negative for people, whereas if we brought them in the early process early, they would have enjoyed those parts about the game a lot more. You can't bring them in early. What is it with you people and inviting the players in to be beta testers and not beta testers? Okay, anyway, the game started out with Vivendi as a publisher before being picked up and actually released by EA. Schafer explained the problem started with Vivendi's refusal to refer to the game as an RTS. Vivendi was like, no, absolutely not. We'll never say RTS. Even if someone asks us if it's an RTS, we'll say no. There was definitely a messaging problem with that game. There's one example of how the openness would have helped the game a lot. Say we were developing that and sharing our battle system with people before we launched, not only would people have known about it, but people would have contributed ideas to it and embraced it and feel like it was their idea instead of this nasty shock. The game had a troubled life and moved from Vivendi and Activision to EA, causing legal issues. An out-of-court settlement was eventually reached, and it was released on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in October 2009 and achieved a Metacritic score of 82. Really? Who cares? Schafer now has a different... Now has a different, more open approach to game development and explained, we used to have this terror that if I go off message and say the wrong thing, no one will buy my game, which is not true. Yes, it is true.
Jay.
Had this epiphany about how it doesn't hurt to be open. Let people see how it progresses over time so they feel the way we feel about the game, so they're really attached to them. You think people are going to reject you or your ideas about the game because they'll see something they don't like. But what actually happens is they embrace them more because they feel more included and more like part of it. No, they don't. What is with you people? Developers, this is why PR people exist, because some of you have these whole utopian ideas about how your game's going to go. We don't really need to see all the things behind the scenes. Oh, I just saw what Jay said. Sam, you better call Tyrone.
I was waiting on it. Yep.
Tell him I said, come on, help you get Joe. Anyway, we got to go.
Yeah, boy. So that was the news. You know, done
karaoke
again. Done gamer girl style.
Uh-oh. I got to change the title again.
Uh-oh. tune in tomorrow. We'll be doing the news again. I'll be here. Because Ginger's off on her quest for world domination.
No, she's getting runestones.
Oh, my bad. She's got to collect that because, you know, we got to make our stuff. And then tomorrow night's our regular Thursday night show, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be angry.
Angry. Rawr! I might discuss Final Fantasy again because I can read
it. I know. That. I already know it's coming. That's why I said it's going to be angry.
So I can actually curse. Yes. Because I feel like cursing. Anyway, favorite us if you like us, favorite us if you don't, because that's how we roll.
Release my pet, and you're gonna feel the pain. Check the scoreboard, do we even got a question? Farming 8Ks, yeah, this is my obsession. My spirit beats heads, a nasty bite like Britney babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I Rambo attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so bad? down and